Please to Psalm chapter 50. Psalms chapter 50. The title of the message this evening is Attitudes of Service for the Christian. Attitudes of Service for the Christian. What kind of attitude should we have whenever we come and serve the Lord? Anything that we do, what kind of attitude should we bring as we serve Him, as we sacrifice for Him? We can sacrifice and we can serve and we can do all of these things, but we can come and we can do those things with the wrong kind of attitude, the wrong kind of spirit. And so, As God is speaking in this psalm, it's an indictment against His people, and against the heathen as well. It's not a compliment. It's not something good that He's saying to His people. It's an indictment against them. And so we'll read the whole thing. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we do. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for blessing us with another day, Lord. Thank You, God, for a place to come and worship. Thank You, God, for Your Word. Thank You for something to preach about. Thank You for the Bible to read, Lord. We pray that You'd help us through Your Holy Spirit to understand it. Father, help us to have just the right kind of understanding of Your Word, Lord. Help us and speak to us through it, and give me the words to speak and help me as I preach. And to help each and every one of us as we listen to get something from it and to speak to us, Lord, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Psalm chapter number 50. Let's go ahead and read the text. It says, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before Him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about Him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that He may judge His people. Gather My saints together unto Me, those that have made a covenant with Me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." Selah. "Hear, O My people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before Me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is Mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are Mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is Mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. But unto the wicked God saith, What hast thou to do to declare My statutes, or that thou shouldest take My covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest My words behind thee? When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou hast given thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself. But I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth Me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Usually in the Psalms that we've been reading and going over, usually it's the psalmist reaching out to God and saying something to God. He wants to know something from God. And so it's a communication from man to God. But in this psalm right here, it's God speaking down to man, and he's saying something to man. And as I've already told you before, it's not a compliment on anybody's part. Here he's addressing two individuals or two groups of people. Number one, he's addressing his saints, his people, the people that had made a covenant with him through sacrifice. That's the nation of Israel. You read that in verses 8 through 15, or excuse me, 7 through 15. Then he goes to verse number 16, and verse 16 all the way down to verse number 22, he's speaking against the wicked. He's speaking against those that don't care what he says. He's speaking against those that that slander their brother and that would commit adultery and have pleasure in those things. He's addressing those two groups of people, and he doesn't have a whole lot of good things to say about either one of those groups. Now, we as Christians here this evening, we have a relationship with God, and it's through Jesus Christ. It's through His blood covenant that we have a relationship with God. And so we are connected to Him. We are in Christ and He is in us. And we have a responsibility and a relationship to Him. Now, the first part of this chapter here, and I'll just say this in passing, there is an application to the second advent of Jesus Christ. If you were to read the first three or four verses, actually the whole thing, it's a picture of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and it's not going to be a pretty picture for the enemies of God, because He's going to come forth out of the sky on a white horse, and there will be fire proceeding out of His mouth, and that's the picture that we have here. And He's going to judge His people, He says right here. Now, what we have here is we have a courtroom setting, and it's an indictment against His people. Now, let me set this up and let me ask you, have you ever worked or have you ever met with someone worked with someone that believed that they were totally indispensable in their job? They would think, man, if I wasn't here at my job, things would just go to pot. This whole place would just fall apart. And man, that you guys have to have me here. If I'm not here, man, you guys are done. I used to work with a guy like that. I used to work for D.E. Rice Construction in Borger, Texas, and we had a dirt superintendent. This guy ran the whole thing. And I was a young, impressionable young man. Probably I was in my 20s. And I kind of looked up to this guy. He was an older man, probably in his late 50s, early 60s. But now that I look back on this guy, this guy was arrogant. This guy didn't have a whole lot of humility. And he was a big talker. You know, he liked to talk a lot and all these things. I looked up to him then, but I don't look up to him now. But he told a group of guys one time, and he used to like to really talk himself up, you know, about all the things that he had done and how good he was and what he could do and all this kind of stuff. Well, he was talking one day, and he was having a conflict with the upper offices there at Borger, Texas. That was their main headquarters was there in Borger. And he was having problems with those guys, and it looked like he was on his way out. He's fixing to quit, or he's fixing to get fired, one of the two. And he said, you know what I told the boss up there in Borger? You know what I told him the other day? He said, if I leave or I get fired, you'll be broke in 6 months. And we were like, yeah, you're right. You're right, we probably will. You know what? About 2 or 3 weeks, he was gone. I don't know if he quit or he got fired or what happened, but he was gone. You know what happened to the company? It's still there today. Still thriving, still going. We didn't go broke in 6 months. But the attitude that he brought to his job was, hey, man, you can't survive without me. You can't make it without me. I'm just that good. I'm just that important. And it's all about me, me, me all the time. And now he's dead and the company's still alive. So that's what God is kind of looking at here with the children of Israel, the group of people that he's talking to first, his saints, his people, those that had made a covenant through sacrifice. He's saying, yeah, you're bringing sacrifices and you're serving me, but there's something wrong with the attitude that you're bringing with those sacrifices. He says, there's no shortage of sacrifices in verse number 8. He says, I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings. He says, I'm not going to reprove you for that. I'm not going to get on to you for that. I'm not rebuking you because you haven't brought the sacrifices. That's not the problem. There's plenty of sacrifices. You're bringing all the right sacrifices. You're bringing them on the right days. You're having the feast days. You're bringing all of these things. But the people misunderstood the sacrifices that they were bringing for the service of the Lord. The problem was the attitude that they brought when they brought the sacrifice. That was the problem. He's saying, you're bringing the sacrifice, but your attitude stinks whenever you serve God and you serve me. You bring that sacrifice, but you don't bring it with the right kind of attitude. Somehow they thought that they were doing God a favor by bringing that sacrifice. You know how we know that? Because God says, I don't need those. Verses 10 to 12. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's saying, I don't need those. Again in verse number 11, I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. I don't need sacrifices because I'm hungry. I own everything anyway. I own the whole ball of dirt. I own all the cattle. I own all the goats. I own all the pigeons. I own everything. You're bringing sacrifices to me, but you're bringing them for the wrong reasons. You're bringing sacrifices to me because you think that now I am indebted to you and I owe you something because you brought those sacrifices. You think that now you've got some kind of favor with me now. You see, you're bringing those sacrifices with the wrong kind of reason, for the wrong kind of attitude. And, you know, it's no different in Jesus Christ's day. Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel and he spoke to the religious leaders. And what did they say? They said, man, we are important. We are somebody. The reason that they thought they were somebody is because they were of Abraham's seed. And Jesus Christ said, you're not that important. Because God is able to raise up stones to Abraham, to himself. Yeah. And whenever Jesus Christ came into the city of Jerusalem, and everyone was cheering, and all the Pharisees got upset about that, Jesus said, if they didn't cry out, the stones would cry out. Amen. We're not that important. Yeah. God doesn't need us. He doesn't have to have us. He didn't need those sacrifices there that day. He didn't have to have those. And so they had a wrong kind of attitude when they brought those sacrifices. And if we are not careful, we can bring the same kind of attitude when we serve God. We can think, man, we are indispensable. God is glad to have me on His team. What would God do if I wasn't here? And look what He owes me now. God owes me a lot of favors because I've been going to church for so many years. I've been given, I've been doing all these things, and now God owes me. We are not that important. What kind of attitude do you bring, or do I bring, whenever we serve God? Well, we have three attitudes of service for the Christian. Three attitudes of what kind of attitude ought we to have when we come and we serve God? Number one, we ought to have an attitude of thankfulness. Thankfulness. That's the kind of attitude we ought to bring whenever we serve God. Number two, it ought to be an attitude of willingness. And number three, an attitude of prayerfulness. First, thankfulness. It says in verse number 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. He said, when you come and you offer sacrifices of thanksgiving. Don't come to God and think, God, you have to have me here. You know, I'm pretty important. God needs me. Without God, He could do nothing. Without me, God could do nothing. You see, we get it backwards sometimes. We must come to God with a heart of thanksgiving. Isn't it a privilege to serve God? I count it a privilege to preach for God. I count it a privilege to come to church and learn about God. I count it a privilege to love fellow Christians. I count it a privilege to do those things, that we must come to God with a heart of thanksgiving whenever we serve Him. But they believe that God owed them a blessing. God doesn't owe us anything. Anything that we get is by the grace of God. Anything that we get. God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe us anything. But too many times Christians are ungrateful and unthankful to God for all that He's given to them, and we forget about the blessings that God has given to us and what a privilege it is to serve the Most High God. I read a story the other day, or just a little story here. There was an honest farmer one day that was having a meal with a very educated man. And this farmer sat down, they were going to eat their meal, and the farmer said, "Hey, I'm going to pray over my meal before I eat. I'm going to thank God for it." And that educated man kind of snickered and said, "What? You don't do that anymore. We don't pray over our meals and thank God for it. We just don't do that anymore. We're an enlightened society now. What are you doing, thanking God for your food?" And the farmer said, "Well, in my custom, we do. I mean, you know, we always thank God. We're enlightened now. We don't do those kind of things." He said, "Well, we do in our house, except for I do have a few members of my family that don't thank God for their meals." And the educated man says, well, you do hang around some, you know, at least some people that have some sense." He said, "Who are they?" And the farmer said, "Well, they're my pigs. My pigs don't thank God for their food." You see, we ought to thank God for the things that He gives to us each and every day, because God has been gracious and good to us. So come to God with a attitude of thanksgiving. Many Christians quit serving the Lord because they were doing it for the wrong reasons or for the wrong attitude. Man, they go for a while, but then they quit because they were doing it for the wrong reasons, and they think that God owes them something. But man, ingratitude will ruin your life. That's all it is ingratitude. Amen. Man, you just get a little bit ungrateful for a while and see how your attitude goes. Ingratitude drives you farther away from God. You never got ungrateful and think, "Man, I'm so much closer to the Lord now because of my ungrateful attitude." Never happened one time. Not at least for me anyway. Maybe for you it did, but it didn't for me. You know, we can be ungrateful to God so many times. We read in Romans chapter number 1 where being ungrateful and unthankful was just the first steps to apostasy. They just weren't thankful to God. And then they started worshiping the creature instead of the Creator, and they forgot about God, and that was it right there. It all started with being ungrateful. When we come and we serve God, we ought to do so with a heart of thanksgiving. An ungrateful heart is always searching for something else better, always looking for something else that's a little bit better out there. They're never satisfied. God is not enough for the unthankful heart. And if God doesn't satisfy your heart and my heart, what will? What will satisfy our hearts if God won't do it? Man, so we must come to God with a heart of thanksgiving. An ungrateful heart is always restless and discontent and always looking for something else better than what God has already provided. Man, I can identify with that. People can get ungrateful so easy, and I'm in that boat. Everyone is. We can just get ungrateful. Ingratitude does not acknowledge the Lord. If you have an ungrateful heart when serving the Lord, you're not acknowledging that the Lord supplies your needs. So we don't acknowledge the Lord like we ought to. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Don't have an ungrateful attitude when you come to the Lord. Ingratitude in the life of the Christian is devastating for service to Him. So come to God with a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude to Him, because an ungrateful heart is just a symptom of something a lot bigger out there. So the next thing that we see is that we must bring an attitude of service for the Christian. We must bring a willing heart. We must be willing to serve Him. Look at verse number 14. "Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows to the Most High." Pay thy vows to the Most High. We must come to God willing to serve Him. Have a willing heart, a willing attitude to serve Him. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and serving Him is not an option for the Christian. We owe Him. He doesn't owe us. We owe Him. We owe Him. What type of person are you when it comes to paying bills? What kind of attitude do you bring when it comes to paying bills? Now, some people approach their bills this way. They say, "Look, they promised that they would provide me with this service, whatever it is, phone bill, light bill, water bill, whatever it is. I agreed to it, and therefore I'm going to pay it." Some people have that kind of attitude. Some people have this kind of attitude, though. They say, well, you know, I got the service, and I'm going to pay it whenever I get ready. You know, whenever I'm good and ready, I'll send out the phone bill. You know what usually happens? They usually end up having their service cut off. They usually end up going to collections. They have the wrong kind of attitude when it comes to paying their bills. Many Christians can have the same kind of attitude when it comes to serving God. Hey, I'll serve God on my time. I'll serve God on my term. I'll serve God when I'm good and ready. Not whenever God wants me to, but whenever I want to. We owe a debt to the Lord, and we ought to serve Him and be willing to serve Him. Amen. On His time. On His time. I was listening, I think it was the other day, to somebody, a preacher, somebody was talking about the estimation of an attitude and zeal with which the church, if I can get this out, serves the Lord nowadays. When times are good, Christians will serve God if they want to, if it feels good to them. I believe that he was pretty accurate in this. Whenever times are good, they'll serve God if it appeals to them. If it tickles their fancy, they'll serve God. But when times are bad and times are rough, they're nowhere to be found. You know what's the matter with them and with us as well? The church, we're fickle. We're fickle. We don't always serve God when we ought to. We got to be willing to serve God even in the bad times, even in the hard times, and not be fickle, but serve Him all the time. Serve Him all the time. Jesus Christ and in the Bible never promised us that serving Him and salvation would be appealing to us. Not one time did we ever find out about that. Never. But we ought to bring with us an attitude of willingness. There's reasons why. Why should we be willing to serve God? Well, number one, we don't belong to ourselves. We are not our own. The Bible says, hey, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You cannot do as a Christian or even as a non-Christian. You cannot do with your body just whatever you want to do. It doesn't belong to you. Amen. The grace of God gave you that body. And you ought to glorify God, and I ought to glorify God with our bodies. Be willing to serve Him with it. That's why we ought to serve God with a willing heart. It doesn't belong to us. It's not ours. Now, in the United States of America, they say, hey, it's my body. I can do what I want to with it. Yeah, you'll have to suffer the consequences too. You go outside of God's order and the way that He created you, and you start doing things with your body that you should not do, you're going to suffer consequences for those things. And people find out about that the hard way. We got to serve God with willingness. Willingness. Serve Him not begrudgingly, but willingly. Why else should we serve God willingly? Hey, we have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us. That's why. We ought to serve God willingly, happily. You know what Paul the Apostle told, I think it was the Corinthians, he said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Somebody's ready to give. Somebody's ready to sacrifice. We have the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of us, and that transforms us. If it doesn't transform us, my friends, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Think about the Apostle Paul. What happened to him? God got a hold of that guy. He used to be a Christian hater, and then he became a Christian preacher. Why? God got a hold of him. He was willing to serve God. My friends, we ought to serve God willingly because we have the Holy Spirit. And, hey, following Jesus Christ, hey, man, that means self-denial. Jesus Christ didn't paint a pretty picture for Christianity. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, even if it's hard, even if we don't want to do it, we must do it anyway, willingly, willingly. Self-denial, self-denial. So the life of service for the Christian is not always easy, but God gives us a place of renewal through prayer. That's the next thing. If you want to come and you want to serve God, you better have a heart of prayerfulness. Come to God and pray to Him. Ask Him for things, because you're going to need it. You're going to need that. That's in verse number 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Do you have a prayerful attitude in your approach to God for service to Him? Do you pray to Him? Did you read those words? And call upon me in the day of trouble. You know why God said that? Why God said those things? Because serving God's going to bring some trouble. Did you ever find anybody in the Bible that served God and didn't have any trouble? I didn't. Think about David. God said, I'm going to find me a man after my own heart that will serve me and will serve Israel and be the king of Israel. You know what directly happened after he called David out to be the king of Israel? Didn't give him a gold watch. Didn't give him a diamond ring. You know what happened to him? He got in trouble. He met trouble. Oh, he got a father-in-law. God gave him a father-in-law that was trying to throw a spear through him. Thanks. Would you like to have a father-in-law like that, Brother Yazzie? No? I wouldn't either. I had a good father-in-law. He never tried to throw a spear through me, but David got one. And what else? He said, well, he was the leader of the nation of Israel, and the people were ready to stone him. He had a son named Absalom, and Absalom formed a conspiracy against him and took over the country. Boy, all this service for the Lord and all it brought was a bunch of trouble. You know where David found himself a lot of times? On his face before God praying because he had trouble. What about Moses? God said, hey, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. I want you to lead several million people. Moses is leading those people. Well, we have some parents in here, and you're leading families. How's that? Got lots of different opinions, lots of different wants. They want to do their own thing. How about trying to lead about 3 million people? Sound like a lot of trouble, doesn't it? There's Moses. God says, I got a job for you, Moses. And there he was. Boy, he had to listen to a bunch of bickering and fighting, and they didn't want no manna anymore. They wanted chicken, or they wanted, not chicken, what was it, quail? God gave him quail. He had to listen to him crying and bickering all the time. You know where Moses found himself? On his face before God. Why? Because serving God brings trouble. It brings trouble. Not a bed of roses. Not like we said this morning, not like your best life now. Not every day of Friday. Nothing like that. Nope. Just a bunch of trouble. How about Paul the Apostle? Man, he said, man, I went through shipwrecks. I got whipped. Man, I got beaten. I was stoned in Lystra. They drug me out of the city and left me for dead. They did all these things to me. But out of those things, the Lord delivered me out of them all. And he had to pray. All his followers got in trouble too. The Philippian church, man. He told them, it's not only given to you to believe on Jesus Christ, but also to suffer for his name. So with Jesus Christ and with Christianity and following Jesus Christ, well, we got a bunch of trouble. So he told the Philippian believers, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So when we come to Christian service, serving God, we can expect some trouble, and we better bring an attitude of prayerfulness toward us, or with us, not toward us, but with us, because we can't handle it on our own. There's no way. Bring an attitude of prayerfulness with us. So we have an attitude of thankfulness and willingness and prayerfulness at the end. And Paul, I told you about all of those things. And how we're supposed to pray. Those are the three attitudes that we must bring in our service and sacrifice to the Lord if we want to have the correct result at the end. Now, we can do things the wrong way. We can have a self-centered attitude. We can try to glorify ourselves. We can do all that. But see, that's not the correct end result that we're looking for in Christian service, is it? It's not so that we can be big shots. So we can look good and we can wear a crown right now and have all the world look at us and say, man, look how great we are. Look how rich we are. Look how wealthy we are. Look how successful we are. That's not the desired end result for the Christian church. That's not it. The desired result for the Christian church is to glorify God. And if we come with these kind of attitudes, and we approach Christian service with those kind of attitudes, then the right person will be glorified, and that's God. He's not a person, but He will be glorified, and not us. Not us. Because, see, the saints here in this chapter, they were trying to glorify themselves. They were saying, hey, God, you owe us. you owe us now. You're indebted to us. And by the way, you can't do all the things that you do on the earth because you need us. And God says, no, wrong way around. I don't need you. You need me. And we need God. He doesn't need us. And so we want the correct result at the end of the day, don't we? And that's to glorify God. Look verse number 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Glorify me. We want to glorify God at the end of the day. And so we must bring these kind of attitudes when we approach Christian service. We're all serving somebody. Everyone is serving somebody. Doesn't matter who you are, you're serving somebody. I read this quote, and we'll end with this. Thou canst not choose but to serve. Man's lot is servitude. But thou hast this much choice, a bad lord or a good. You can have a bad lord or a good lord. You can serve yourself. Unsaved people are serving the devil. That's their father. But who are you serving? You have that choice, but you got to serve somebody. Everyone has to serve somebody. Let's bring these kind of attitudes to Christian service. All right? We're not going to have an invitation this evening.